Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this Monday, the 14th day in August of 2023. I'm your host, Michael Kimmett, as always bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to start, hopefully, your work week. We're going to start in Norway, where the data protection authority of that country, known as Datatilsynet, has revealed that they intend to levy a fine against Meta, the owner of WhatsApp and Facebook, among other properties. Now, this isn't the first time Meta has been fined in Europe. Notably, Ireland has fined Meta. But those fines are usually on a per-incident basis, and Norway's doing something very different, unique. They are imposing a fine that accrues daily and can reach levels of up to $100,000 daily until Facebook complies with Norway's demands. And this isn't something Norway woke up and decided or discovered yesterday. This issue is because Facebook and Instagram behaviorally market to users. But in order to do that, they have to collect data on the users, which Norway has complained about for at least 2 years. And yet this activity continues from Instagram and Facebook. And so Norway, in order to shut it down and finally get it to stop, is looking to levy the mighty US dollar. We're going to move from Instagram and Facebook to ransomware, because there is an interesting and very important report, a set of analysis done by the outstanding firm Checkpoint, that links a rising star in the ransomware community, a group known as Rysida, R-H-Y-S-I-D-A. So Rysida is a ransomware module that is new. It was observed within the last year, and it was targeting the Chilean army, which is interesting choice for a ransomware payload to deploy to. But subsequently, the group behind Rysida was able to impact 17 hospitals in the United States, which included 166 clinics, making the ability for those organizations to deliver life-saving, life-enriching health care to patients almost impossible. And so these kinds of attacks against critical infrastructure include healthcare. Now, the report isn't just to talk about how Rysida is evolving from targeting South America to targeting hospitals in the United States. What's interesting about this report is two things. The first notable finding from the researchers is that the entire attack, from when the actors decided to target a victim to when the computers of that victim were suddenly not working, only took 8 days. And so 8 days in terms of detecting, stopping, and defeating an attack is not a lot of time. Some threat actors, it takes months. And so 8 days is a very quick turnaround. The other notable thing from this report is that Rysida's activity seems to coincide and overlap and then coincide again, sort of like a big arc curve, with another ransomware group known as Vice Society. Vice Society was a hugely successful ransomware operations group, and the use of the Vice Society tools decreased over time. Then there was an overlap with those tools and Rysida, and now there's no Vice Society specific tools, it's just Rysida. So it's unclear at this point if the actors behind Vice Society rebranded to the Rysida tool, if the operators of the Rysida tool are simply selling their services to Vice Society, who no longer have to use their own tool. But what is important to note is that these criminal organizations are interlaced. It's more than one person in a basement. It's more than one tool and one tool developer. This ecosystem and understanding it can be crucial in terms of what you're looking for in that 8 day period. We're going to move from ransomware to Lapsus, #$group. Lapsus, and there's a dollar sign at the end of the group, that's their moniker, is a group of individuals that conducted a number of attacks that involve bypassing multi-factor authentication, and we now know the serious and severity of that because the United States Cyber Safety Review Board, or CSRB, released a report to the White House that outlines Lapsus Group's basic strategies to sidestep multi-factor authentication, which is very alarming for organizations who have spent a lot of money developing these multi-factor authentication protocols. Now, why this matters is because the Cyber Safety Review Board in the United States has zero authority. They are literally just reviewing safety. But by pushing their reports to the White House, to the SEC and the financial side of the house, to the Federal Trade Commission, these reports can generate actual policy and regulatory governance that dictate how organizations must comply. As a recent example, the White House just approved legislation that would give companies only a number of days to report a material cyber incident. As of last year, some organizations never reported incidents at all, or only annually. By shortening the time to which companies must disclose these incidents, they can be better investigated, understood, and hopefully mitigated, not just for that company, but for the industry and the globe at large. So the Cyber Safety Review Board has a new Lapsus report. It's great. It's a good read. It's important. And organizations shouldn't just read it. They should expect that the documentation and the notes about these things should be addressed by their organizations, because there will soon likely be regulatory guidance on that they must spend the money to do it anyways. We're going to end today on Microsoft. Microsoft is making waves because Microsoft researchers revealed that they found flaws that could be abused to enable threat actors to target power plants. Disrupting power plants is something that most cybersecurity experts dread because it means that someone can, from another country, from another location, disable the ability of people to access the internet, to charge their cars, to basically enjoy lights at night. And so electric power is such a reliance in modern society. The ability for a cyber criminal to shut it down or hold it ransom is very important. And there is a platform or a software developer kit, which is has the acronym SDK. So when someone says SDK, that's just a software developer kit. There's a software developer kit for something called CodeSys. Now, CodeSys software is found on a lot of the devices that manage the industrial operation that is generating and transmitting electric power. That process, known as Industrial Control System, or SCADA. SCADA stands for those nerds that really want to know, Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition. And these sensors all work together using CodeSys software to allow for production, monitoring, safe transmission of power. And by disrupting this particular devices, you can create explosions, you can create disruptions, you can create blackouts, all very bad things. And all of this research was published on the 10th of August, and all versions of CodeSys, according to Microsoft, prior to 3.5.19.0 are affected by 15 bugs, which they say there are fixes for. So if you operate CodeSys, update now, because all versions prior to 3.5.19.0 could allow criminals to potentially impact you if you're a power generator and your customers. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all so very much. Have a fantastic and outstanding day. It's going to be a great week. So stay safe, stay strong, stay healthy, and we'll see you tomorrow. Michael Kimmett signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's tip of the cap goes to a high school graduate out of California, Angie Schickerneck. is getting a sincere tip of the cap for winning the 2023 USATF National Junior Olympic Track and Field Championships, which took place in Oregon, where she was the hammer throw champion. She's a three-time national champion thrower, and she's getting a sincere tip of the cap because she's doing it coming from high school where hammer throw was banned as part of the curriculum for safety reasons. And yet she was able to find and associate with a group of other people who are throwing enthusiasts and become a champion, leading to her accepting an invitation to attend UC Berkeley, where she hopes to compete on their track and field team and ultimately the Olympics long term. So to you, Angie, for achieving your dream, even though you had to go above and beyond to make it happen, showing that if you want to do something, you can, regardless of your gender or situation, make it so. So again, for being an outstanding example, for being dedicated to your craft, and for achieving the pinnacle of success, a sincere tip of the cap, and please keep on throwing.